Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are...
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News Radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we're also on the Rapture Ready Radio Network. That's a wonderful network. If you want some good Bible teaching, head over there. And there's quite a few good teachers on the Rapture Ready Radio Network. So we're rapture ready. We're ready for Jesus. We're ready, aren't we? We're trying. There's so much going on in the world today, especially in the so-called church world, but it's more the fake church world than the real church world. And with our broadcast and the other broadcasters that are out there and the authors, and we're trying to make a difference and bring back the truth of God's word, not what men say, but what God says. Because after all, now that's what really matters, doesn't it? Because I have people say this to me. Oh, I get comments on my YouTube channel, and sometimes I get comments on my radio broadcast, and I have people say, don't judge. Yes, well, yes, we are supposed to judge, righteous judgment, when it comes, especially when it comes to doctrine, because we all realize that all of us have flaws, yes, personal flaws, we all have them, we all have our moments, and we realize that. Because there was only one perfect one that ever walked the earth. But when it comes to God's word, that has been established. And God says that he exalts his word above his name. So I will judge when somebody is a heretic. And I will judge when someone is preaching a false gospel. I will judge that in the light of scripture. And I will accept the truth of scripture, not someone's opinion of scripture. And I know myself that I have to go and be a good Berean, and I have to check things out with the word of God, because if I don't, then I can be misled. There's been many, many people over the ages that have been misled. You can see today in the world of so-called Christianity, say, take for instance the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church has over 1 billion members worldwide. 1 billion. No, we've been trying for thousands of years, a few thousand years since Jesus walked the earth, to explain the truth of the gospel, to make disciples, to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel as Christ commanded us. So how long have we been working? Do we have a remnant church of 1 billion people? No. No, we don't. Not anywhere near 1 billion people. So you have 1 billion people that are trapped in a false religious system of saying that Jesus lives in a wafer. Come on now, please stop. Stop. I can't take it. I can't take it. And then you go, they go, now I was raised Catholic, so I know what I'm talking about. I went to Catholic school from grade 2 to 8. I was thoroughly indoctrinated into the Catholic religion. Thank God I escaped when I was 12. I said I had enough of this, because even at that young age, I realized that these people were a bunch of hypocrites, and they certainly didn't practice what they were preaching, which I didn't even know what they were preaching, because Jesus, I knew Jesus died on the cross for my sins, but I couldn't really receive forgiveness of my sins because I had to go to confession to a priest. And this is how afraid I was to die when I was a child. I had so much fear because I lived in a climate where it snowed in the winter, and sometimes you couldn't get to confession on Saturday. Now, you couldn't confess your sins at home. No, no, no. You had to go to the actual church building, which was probably 12 miles away from my house, and you had to go there on Saturday to get your sins forgiven. So then on Sunday, when you went to church, you could take communion. Because you couldn't take communion, you couldn't receive Jesus until you went and confessed your sins. So one time there was a snowstorm on Saturday, and we were snowed in, and I was so afraid I was going to die that night and not get to the church to ask Jesus to forgive me of my sins, because I knew if I would die with my sins, that I didn't know if I would make it to purgatory or hell, because at that time, and I don't know if the Catholic Church still teaches this, but at that time, if you didn't go to church on Sunday, it was a mortal sin. And in the Catholic Church, you had a mortal sin and you had a venial sin. So the venial sins were smaller sins, and the mortal sins were big sins, big. And one of the mortal sins, two of the mortal sins were if you ate meat on Friday. How many of my friends there in the chat room remember that one? If you ate meat on Friday, it was a mortal sin. So if you didn't get, if you say accidentally you ate some meat on Friday and you didn't get to confession on Saturday, you could die. You could die and go to hell, because you committed a mortal sin. So we were snowed in. I couldn't get to church to make confession. I couldn't get to church on Sunday to make my duty as a Catholic by attending Mass. Oh, I was so afraid I was going to die and go to hell for those sins that I committed through no fault of my own, of course, but so imagine a million people in this day and age, of all the Bible teaching that's out there, the computers that are out there, the television sets that are out there, the traveling ministries that are out there, there's still a billion people trapped in this false religious system thinking that they have to receive Jesus in a wafer. Now, it does, doesn't it? I mean, it boggles your mind, doesn't it, to think that people actually believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who resurrected in a body, remember, he walked around in a body, and then when he resurrected, he was in a body, and he ascended into heaven. There was people that saw him go. He went up there. He wasn't in a wafer. He wasn't in a relic. He wasn't in a piece of cloth. No, he was real. So they believe that Jesus Christ himself, and millions of times throughout the day, because they say Mass every day in the Catholic Church, there's a Mass going on every day. So they believe that actually Jesus Christ, the risen Son of God, our Savior and our Lord, he breaks himself into little pieces, I don't know, where he spreads his DNA around or something, and then he climbs into this wafer, and then you open your mouth and you get the wafer in your mouth, and then you say, I receive Jesus. Now, we have not come a long way, baby, amen? If we still have a billion people trapped, so we have our job cut out for us. We have a massive job cut out for us. So I say, where are the Isaiahs? Where are the Jeremiahs? Where are the Ezekiels? Where are they? Where are the Davids? Where are the Solomons? Where are they? Oh, we have a job. I'm telling you, we have a job. We have a job cut out for us. And as the days go on, and this morning I was reading the book of Isaiah, and I was looking also at Jezebel and Elijah. And just think of it now. We have so many Jezebels out there now that claim to be Christians, and they're a bunch of Jezebels. And they claim, oh, I'm a Christian. You don't act like a Christian. I'll tell you right now, you don't act like a Christian when you're scamming people. The whole bunch of you that were over there hanging out with Donald Trump at his inauguration, and you don't even have enough of Jesus inside of you to tell the man the truth. None of you, the bunch of limp-wristed men that were over there and just wanted to be around the president, but you didn't care about his soul. You didn't care about him enough to tell him the truth, that most of the people that were surrounding him there that day were a bunch of compromisers, like I said, limp-wristed men following after a Jezebel, and you wouldn't take a stand for anything. The room supposedly Friday morning when they had this supposed private church service for the man that was going to be the future leader of the free world, who stood up to tell this man the truth that day? That we're sorry, Mr. President, that in this room today there's a bunch of scam artists that call themselves Christians, a bunch of scammers here that they've built television networks and they've built huge buildings as a memorial to themselves with tithes and offerings and seed faith scams. We're sorry, Mr. President, that we have presented Christianity to you in such a way. And then what would you try to do to us, some of you people that may be tuning into my program today to see what I would have to say? What would you try to do to us? Sue us? Have us murdered? What? Because we tell the truth? You may think that you're getting away with it now. You may think you're getting away with it, but there's one person that knows exactly what you're doing. You can't hide from God. You may be able to con the whole world and say you're doing nothing wrong. You're not conning God. You can't do anything. You can't sue him. You can't kill him. So be thankful that there's a voice. One voice, many voices out there saying, repent, all of you, repent and turn your life around and quit presenting the gospel like it's some kind of dog and pony show out there. You just use Jesus and the Bible as a prop to enrich yourself, and then you go around over there, you go to Washington, you hang around Trump, and you're flying around in your private jets, and you're wearing your custom-made suits and your Rolex watches and everything else that you got from scamming people. You didn't earn an honest day's wage. Not an honest day. Not an honest day. Who cares? What good is it going to do? You're going to die and you're going to leave it behind. You're not going to take a bit of it with you. And then all your crazy relatives are going to be fighting over it. They're going to be fighting over the spoils that you left behind. Ugh, I'm telling you, I never saw such idiocy in my life as I witnessed in the past week or so, especially at the presidential inauguration. It was, I didn't see one person there, not one person that took a stand for anything, just a bunch of compromisers. That was it. That was it. It was an embarrassment. And go into some ecumenical service with some Hindu praying and some Muslim praying, some Indian going, wow, 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 wow. I don't know. I didn't believe the whole thing. I didn't believe the whole thing. There wasn't any reason for that. If any of you men, so-called men out there that were being led around by Jezebel, you could have said, look, we want to do a prayer meeting with the president, a public one, but we're not going to stand over here with a Muslim and a Hindu and somebody going, wah, 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 and whatever. No, we're going to stand up here. We're going to proclaim the truth boldly to you, Mr. Trump and your family, because we care for your soul. Yeah, that's what I wanted to see. I didn't see any of it. I felt like Elijah this week. You know, there was Jezebel, and she was threatening his life, and he goes under the juniper tree, and he says, "Oh, I want to die because they're greater than they're greater." No, and God says, "No, I'm greater. Don't worry about it. I'm greater, and His word will go forth. His word will go forth like a sword. So just like we saw people this week, oh." They want to do harm to the president. They want to do harm to the president. And there's these so-called preachers out there that would like to do harm to people like myself and the others that speak out against your lying hypocrisy. But God said His word is a sword. His word is a sword. And you can't stop that. You can't stop it. No, you can't stop it. So take heart, brethren, take heart, because you just take a stand for Jesus, no matter what. If everybody in your family leaves you, your so-called church family leaves you, what? You don't want to go over to these crazy nut houses anyway that they have, like this. I don't know if any of you saw this so-called funeral for Eddie Long. There was like an insane asylum in there. You can go on YouTube and look at it. Now, this man, Eddie Long, I don't know where he wound up. Now, I'm not going to say he went to hell, because I don't know where he went, because I don't know what happened between him and God when he knew he was taking his last breath. I don't know. Nobody knows that. So, but from the looks of this funeral, now, personally, I don't want a funeral. When I die, that's it. Put me in the ground, and I don't want all that pomp and circumstance and an expensive casket and an expensive outfit and limousines. And I don't want a $50,000 funeral or whatever they paid. And then they dress this man up, and you can see the picture there. I have some pictures there from my, on my flashing on my radio program. You can see the pictures of Eddie Long, and it's frightening, because here's this man, and he's dressed up. This body's laying in there, and it's got jewelry on it, and they had the funeral director put a smile on his face. Now, nobody dies with a smile on their face. No, nobody dies with a smile on their face. So the funeral director put a smile on his face, and then they dressed him up in red shoes, which usually a pope wears red shoes. So they dressed him up in red shoes, and they had it looked like a pope uniform on him. He was dressed in red and white. He had a dress on, and no, I mean, it was freaky. I'm sorry. No, stop, please. Look, this man, he molested young men. He molested young men. And he was scamming people. He had a man named Ephraim Taylor come to his church and scam people out of millions of dollars with this Ponzi scheme he had. He's in jail now. He's in jail. He was found guilty. I don't know how Eddie got away with it, but he did. Eddie and his elders, they got away with it. So, no. The ex-governor of Georgia was actually at this funeral. The ex and Deion Sanders, the idiot ex-football player, who talks about Jesus on his reality show, and then he has a scene where he's going into a hotel room for the night with his girlfriend. No, don't talk about Jesus. No, please, no, don't. I don't want to hear about your Jesus. Okay, no. Oh, And imagine doing that on TV. Doing it on TV. Showing the world, look, I'm going into this hotel room with my girlfriend. And then they close the door behind them. So you get the picture? And then he's talking about Jesus. And then he's talking about having a ministry to young men. How are you going to explain that to young men when you're trying to teach young men morals and how to be upright men of God and not to touch a woman until you're married? And then what are they going to say? Hey, Dion, what are you doing in the hotel room over there with your girlfriend? They don't want to hear about your Jesus. No, nobody wants to hear about your Jesus, Dion. Please sit down and be quiet. Oh, he's up there. And the rest of them, a bunch of nuts up there crying and carrying on, men dressed in dresses. And they look like cardinals and Catholic. They look like Catholic cardinals and Catholic bishops. It was pathetic. I think this funeral went on for 5 or 6 hours, carrying on over there, praising this man. From what I knew of Eddie Long, from what I ever saw of him, I didn't think he was a saved man. I told you last week that I was watching him probably maybe 3 or 4 weeks before he died. I watched his church service, and he comes and he's telling everybody about healing. And then, now I believe Jesus is a healer. Yes, I believe Jesus heals people. Yes, he does. But Eddie even claimed at one time that he was healed, told everybody he was healed, but he wasn't healed. No, he wasn't healed. No, he died of cancer, supposedly. And so he gets up and then he says he has a word from the Lord, and there's a lady in there that has 3 kids and they're sleeping in her bed. She doesn't have a bed, and he's going to come on up here if that's you. Well, of course, nobody comes up because that was a false word. There wasn't anybody there with 3 kids and they were sleeping in the bed and she was sleeping on the floor. Finally, he said, okay, if there's a lady in here that has 2 kids that are sleeping in a bed and you don't have a bed and you need a bed, come forward. So then a lady comes forward and then 2 ladies come forward. And then he says he's going to buy them a bed. Now, how much does a bed cost? You could probably get a mattress and a box spring, a twin for $300, right? Okay, he's got 2 women up there. Then I think 5 or 6 other women came up because they needed beds too. And he tells them, this is the man of God that they were all crying and laying on the floor and screaming over. He tells the other women, no, this gate is closed now. In other words, go sit down. I'm not buying you a bed too. Oh, I'm telling you, I was disgusted with that. No, please. You know, then he had the nerve a few weeks before to stand up there and people were bringing him gold bars. You could see it. It's on YouTube. You see the people, 2 people came up and handed him these gold bars that are worth a few thousand dollars for himself, not for the church, for himself. And yet these poor women, do you know how embarrassing it is to have to go up front in a church and say you don't have a bed? It's embarrassing. And then for the pastor, the minister of God, the man of God that they were all crying and screaming over, telling you to go sit down because he was only going to buy beds for 2 people, not for 8 people. Ugh. Oh, please. Lord have mercy. I mean, Lord help us. What is going on? What is going on? And anyway, I don't want anybody saying how great I am. I am not great. I don't want anybody lauding me and carrying on about me. I'm nothing. And they should want to be nothing, too. But no, they want to be something. Even in death, they still want to be something. But we're nothing. It's all about Jesus. The only reason that we're anything is because of him. And this is a scripture I like, Psalm 84:10. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Amen. That's right. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness and drive a fancy car and live in a big mansion and have my own jet, and then I'm just wicked. Who cares? Who cares? Like I said before, I don't care how much money people have. You, if you earned it, you have a right to have whatever you want, and it's none of my business. But if you use Jesus as a prop to get what you want, and you lie on Jesus, and you tell people that God needs your money, otherwise he's going to curse you and punish you if you don't give him some, you're a liar and a thief. And none of us should want any part of that. None of us. We want to shake the dust off our feet from all that foolishness, that's for sure. And enough is enough already. Enough is enough. But if you look at some of these scriptures, now next week we're going to have Brother Wolf Tracker on, and we're going to talk about strange fire. Now that should be good, right? We're going to talk about strange fire. I mean, there's enough strange fire going on television, in the movies, in these so-called prayer meetings, these evangelistic conferences that they're having. There's enough strange fire going on, but you can read the scriptures, especially here in 1 Kings, and scriptures about Jezebel. Whoa, I mean, Jezebel, she was bad. She was bad. But she didn't meet a good end, Jezebel. She thought she was something going somewhere to happen, and that Ahab that was obeying her. I mean, since when is a man supposed to obey a woman? It's ridiculous. I'm not saying that a woman can't say something to a man, but a man that just blindly obeys a woman all the time and never has a backbone of his own, give me a break, please. God said he made male and female, and he made us different. He made us different. I'm not saying women have any less of a brain than a man. Of course we have a brain. God gave us a brain. He gave us a mind. He gave us a mouth. He gave us a Bible. And we use all of them. Amen. But who doesn't want a man that's going to stand up and be a man? Who wants that kind of a man? And that was Ahab, you know, obeying his wife. And he wouldn't stand up to her and tell her she was wrong. No, he just obeyed Jezebel. And she was going to kill the prophets. Oh, she was going to get rid of Elijah. And it says here, I like this one, in verse 21, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord God be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. They didn't know what to say. Now, that's what we're saying today, okay? Let's say that to the church today. How long will you be halt between two opinions? If you want to follow after Baal, then follow after Baal. But if you want to follow God, then follow God. Because the Bible says to seek first the kingdom. We seek first the kingdom, and then all the other things will be added on to you. We seek first the kingdom. So it's interesting to go ahead and do that study on Elijah and Jezebel. Here's another good one, verse 37. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Hallelujah. And that's what we want to see, is we want to see people's hearts turn back to God and the truth of his word, that we stand for the truth. We don't compromise. I don't care about rubbing shoulders. With who does it matter? I want to rub shoulders with Jesus. That's the one I care about. What good is it going to do me to go someplace and rub shoulders with the high and mighty, and I won't take a stand for the truth? What good is it going to do those people? And then the ironic thing is, too, that a lot of these people that were there at the presidential inauguration. Now, imagine the Trump family goes home, and they've seen these people at their and the other people, say the senators and the congressmen and the other world leaders or whoever else was there. And they see these people, and they're the Christian leaders of the nation. And then they go home and they turn on their TV sets and they see them hawking bottles of water for miracles. They see that, like Wayne T. Jackson, he sells water. You watch him on his Impact Network, which is not having an impact on anybody. It's an embarrassment. And he's there leading praying for the president of the United States before the whole world. So imagine then people go home. They turn on their TV and they see Wayne T. selling holy water, and they see Wayne T. selling anointing oil, and Wayne T. will pray for you to get a financial breakthrough if you just sow a seed. Can anybody please tell me? Somebody, please, out there, if you know the answer to this, educate me. Where in the world does the Bible talk about getting a financial breakthrough? The only financial breakthrough I know about is going to work and getting a paycheck, because the Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. So what kind of financial breakthrough are people looking for? You can get a job promotion and get a raise in pay, or you could get a better job, or somebody could leave you some money or something like that. But I didn't know that there was a special key to the city of heaven that we possess, and it unlocks a breakthrough. They're not telling people to live a good, honest life of integrity. No, they're telling you, live any way you want, do anything you want, don't pay your bills, don't pay your mortgage, send us that tithe money first or else. And you'll get we will help you unlock the mystery of the financial breakthrough. But there's no mystery. There's no mystery. Last week I had mentioned a little bit about my own family. The only way my family got anything was that my grandmother, my grandfather, they came over from Europe in the early 1920s. They were immigrants. Legal immigrants. They came through Ellis Island on ships from Europe, from Poland, and from Czechoslovakia. And they came to live in the East, and they had no car. They had 10 children. They lived in a small flat, cold water flat, with one bathroom, 12 people. They worked in factories. They walked to work. A mile, 2 miles, whatever, rain, snow, sleet, 90-degree weather, they walked to the factory every day and supported their families. And when the kids grew up, they all worked. And so it went on from there. So that's the only thing I know. I know about hard work and what hard work will get you. So I don't know anything about sending people seed offerings to get financial breakthroughs and debt cancellation and everything else. I didn't know about any of that from what I saw in my family. I saw my family, my mother and my father and my brother and I, when we grew up, our grandmother lived with us, our great-grandmother lived with us. They both lived with us until they died. And so that's what I know about my family. So that's been my experience. And I think that for most people, to be realistic about life is to work. And the Bible says that if you don't take care of your own family, now I didn't write this, you're worse than an infidel. So if you made a family, you're responsible for the family. We all go through things in our life. We all go through hardships. All of us do. We all go through our ups and downs. But through Christ, who strengthens us, and we say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So he strengthens us, and he picks us up, and he dusts us off, and we get back up, and we get back into the fight. Amen? And we don't let anything get us down. No matter what's going on, how bad it looks out there, especially in the church world, I'm telling you, I never saw so much compromise in all my life, being a Christian for 35 years now. I've never seen so much compromise, so much error, and it could get you down. You could say, oh, Lord, please. But I know through the listening audience we have, and we have many, many thousands of listeners that listen, and the listeners that are out listening to the other ministries that are out there doing apologetics and doing discernment, trying to get the word out, to be solid Bible teachers of the word of God. So there's a good remnant church out there. And if you read the book of Isaiah, you'll see for yourself that, especially the first few chapters of the book of Isaiah, it talks about the remnant. And I was surprised, because I haven't read the book of Isaiah for a long time. And reading it, it's really a good book. But also, I want to mention this, because I was thinking about this today. And I was thinking, Lord, is there a bomb in Gilead? And the scripture, Jeremiah 8:22 says, is there no bomb in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? And the Bible says that we shouldn't be disheartened, that no matter what we see, there is a bomb in Gilead, and Jesus is the great physician, and he said he's coming for a glorious church. So we can't faint, amen, and get weary in well-doing, but we have to preach the gospel, we have to tell people the truth of what the gospel says, and we're going to see that, especially, you see now, and it's kind of what people are doing, especially now that we have a new president, we have a new government, and you see the hatred coming from the people of the other side, doing violence to people that support Donald Trump, making threats against him and his family. And there was actually someone at one of these marches last week where they set a girl's hair on fire because she was wearing a Trump shirt or something. And it's actually on video. It's not something that I just heard reported. I saw it. So you can imagine if there's so much hatred because of this man and what he's saying, what it's going to be like for Christians when we say things or we try to do things and stand up for the Word of God, how it's going to get. We're going to see some persecution for sure. So we can't lose heart and remember that scripture, that there is a bomb in Gilead. There is. So, and the Word of God heals us. It has power to heal us. And like I said, it is a sword. And we take that sword of the Spirit, and the Word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. But also, there's some scriptures here about the government. Romans 13:1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. So when God lifts one up and he puts one down, and we might not like the choices, but those, that's who God picked. And Romans 13, let 1-7, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. I just read that. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. 1 Peter 2:13-17, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme. Titus 3:1, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to do every good work. Amen. Psalm 22:28, for the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. That should give us some comfort. Amen. He is the governor. Hallelujah. So, also, I was looking at a few scriptures. I like some of the scriptures in the book of Job. Job 4:17. Shall mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his maker? I like this one a lot, and this one we should always remember. Job 32:22. For I know not to give flattering titles. In so doing, my maker would soon take me away. Remember that scripture when somebody demands that you call them Dr., Reverend, Bishop, Your Eminence, Your Holiness, or whatever. Remember that scripture. That Job 32:22, for I know not to give flattering titles. In so doing, my maker would soon take me away. We don't have to do that. If somebody doesn't let you call them by their first name, something's wrong with that person. They need help. Proverbs 14:31, he that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker, but he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. Proverbs 17:5, whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker, and he that is glad at calamities shall not be unpunished. So the Bible says don't take advantage of the poor. And many of these ministries that call themselves ministries that teach these first fruits things, and they teach the seed sowing things, and they teach the Passover offerings, and they teach tithing, and they teach Day of Atonement offerings and all of these, it's nothing but scams. And the Bible warns against that. Don't do it. Don't do it. Because you may be living large now. You may be living large now, but whatever the devil gives you, and remember, the devil was so stupid that he knew who Jesus was, and he was telling Jesus, look, just bow down to me and I'll give you all this. When the devil was such a dope, Jesus already owned it all. But that's what deception is. these people think that they have everything going for them. Oh, look, I have everything going for them. But the devil, when he gives you something, he takes it away with pain and agony. Remember, Elvis Presley, Michael Jackson, who else? They had everything to live for, but they wound up on drugs. They wound up, some of them, committing suicide. Some people, the other day, there was a story in the paper of a very wealthy woman, 67 years old. She jumped from her Manhattan apartment building, I don't know how many floors, to her death. She had everything in the natural going for her, and she jumps out of a window. So just because you have things, that doesn't mean that it's going to make you happy, and especially if you didn't get those things honestly. I don't understand how people sleep at night when they're stealing from people. That's why I say, and we need to keep saying it. And these people that rob innocent sheep, they rob them. They're not saved. They're not saved. I don't care how many times they say they love Jesus and I was born again when I was 18 and I was born again when I was 9. No, you're not born again. Because when you're born again, you change. You change. Old things pass away. So maybe you did that a few years in your Christianity because you didn't know any better and you thought seed sowing and tithing and all that was the way to go. But later on, you're responsible for reading your Bible and knowing what it says because you don't need the milk anymore. You're supposed to graduate to the meat. And so you could say you're saved all day long and go on television and be in all the newspapers, blah, 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 and I'm some kind of a Christian leader. But you are not a Christian leader. You are not saved. And you behave like that. You steal from people. You steal from their children. No, you're not saved. No, that's not a Christian. That's not a Christian. So those people, anytime you hear somebody opening up their mouth and they're telling you to sow a seed and they're telling you to bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, run for your life. Cause you don't want any. No, that's not Christian. Because I don't find those things in the Bible. And if it's not thus saith the Lord, then it's not true. It's not true. It's not true. So we have to reject those teachings and run away from them and help other people to run away from them too. Amen. So let's read a few more of these scriptures today. I so enjoyed. Let me read this first chapter, actually, of Isaiah. I think it'll bless you. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children. Yeah, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. A sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. For the sole of the foot, even the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. here. And the daughter of Zion left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, there you go, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. In other words, he's saying, I'm sick of all your offerings and all that, but you're far from me. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons, remember all these things about the moons and blah, blah. Read Isaiah. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with it. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. Passover offerings, first fruits offerings, seed faith offerings, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, the Lord says, my soul hateth. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Let me go down to verse 18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye, being willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. That's it. That's the word of God. That's righteous judgment. That's righteous judgment. I like this one too, verse 23. Thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loveth gifts and followeth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth the cause of the widow come unto them. And these people over there at New Birth, at Eddie Long's church, this woman, now I do like his wife, Vanessa Long. She seems like a very nice woman. But she's allowed herself to be deceived, and they were telling the people there that they have to take care of her. Look, she's going to be fine, okay? She's going to be fine. I'm sure that they had a nice savings account and they had money stashed away and probably a nice life insurance policy. No, they don't have to take. She has children. And widows are widows when widows are widows indeed, when they don't have any family members to take care of them. But then to ask the people to help support, that they have to help support her, please. Stop. Rich people, like your pastor or the so-called first lady and all that, they don't need birthday offerings, okay? And if they take birthday offerings, they should be ashamed of themselves. They don't need birthday offerings. They don't need pastor appreciation day. They get salaries. Nobody has an appreciation day for the people sitting in the congregation that have to come there every week and give their tithes and offerings and whatever else they have to give over there to have a seat. It's ridiculous. It's enough already. Enough. You see these wealthy preachers taking up birthday offerings for themselves and Pastor Appreciation Day. Who goes to work at an office or a factory or whatever, and the factory workers say, well, you know, you're coming over here every day to work, so we're going to have a day where we all chip in and buy you something. Nobody does that. And who do these people think they are anyway, that they should think that they should be worshipped like that? So ridiculous. I can't. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I know. I have been in these churches. I have worked for some of these ministries. One ministry I worked for, the man was a millionaire, and he had his own money. He was worth millions on his own, and he'd go to these churches to preach, and they'd buy him $1,000 cashmere coats, and they'd want to buy him Cadillacs, and just to get around him, just to get on his good side, because they wanted to rub shoulders with him. But he didn't need those gifts. He had his own money. He had plenty of his own money, you know. But they were never satisfied, you know. They were never satisfied. And look, if I had a coat and I had a nice coat, and you told me, look, I'm gonna spend $1,000 to buy you a new coat. If I didn't need it, I would say, no, I don't want it. I don't really need it. So keep your money. Anyway, no, they never have enough. But anyway, I encourage you to read 1 Kings and to read about Jezebel and Ahab and to read the book of Isaiah. Very, very interesting. I don't have time to read too much. But there's also, if you go to YouTube, the whole book of Isaiah is on video there. So you can actually listen to it while you're doing your dishes or whatever you're doing around the house. But it was so interesting. I'm telling you, I enjoyed it so much because it was so right there for what we're going through today in the church world. And we need that word of God to encourage us and to keep us strong for the days that are ahead. It could get tough out there. It could get tough because I know some of these ministries. Take TBN, for instance. Here, TBN, supposedly the largest so-called Christian television network in the world, sues the granddaughter of Jan Crouch, the son of Paul Crouch Jr. They've got 20 lawsuits against this girl, trying to drive her crazy. They drove her into bankruptcy. Who does that? Who does that? And so a lot of these people use these kind of methods to silence people. They want to sue people and to hurt them. Nobody wants to hurt anybody. That's not what this ministry is about. We're not trying to hurt anybody. We want you to get saved because I know hell is real. Hell is real. And if I didn't know hell is real, then I wouldn't be preaching the gospel. I wouldn't be preaching the gospel. But we are required to tell people the truth. If I didn't love these false prophets and false teachers enough to tell them the truth, to take time out of my own life to bring forth the truth of the word of God so that they could present the gospel themselves in truth, that's what we want. That's what we want. But yet, some of these people, they're so vicious that they sue people. They threaten people. They threaten to hurt people and to do things to them. What I say is we're using the word of God to bring correction, and you're going to be a lot more hurt if you don't obey God. You're going to be a lot more hurt. So there's no sense in trying to hurt people and to try to do things to people's families and whatever because people are speaking out against your heresy and your hypocrisy. And we want to see Jesus presented to the world the way he really is. He's a loving Savior. Nobody died on the cross for me. Nobody else died on the cross for me except Jesus. He died on the cross for me. He gave his life for me so I could have life. And I take it seriously. We don't use Jesus for our own end to get what we want. And then if anybody speaks up about it, you have to think, wow, I hope they don't try to come and get me. Or it's been done. It's been done. Look at Martin Luther. Martin Luther, back now we're celebrating the 500th year of the Reformation. And when he spoke out against the Catholic Church, basically the same thing that we're doing today is we're speaking out against the selling of miracles. And his life was threatened. They were going to kill him. They put him on trial. And they were going to kill him. And he had to go into hiding. And he went into hiding, and then thank God he lived, and he was able to teach, and he wrote a Bible. He translated the Bible into the German language, and they still use it today, the Martin Luther Bible. So there's always been this kind of thing with the false church and the false religious system where they don't like people that tell the truth. But everybody's got a Bible. So even if you try to hurt people that are telling the truth, there's still going to be the Word of God out there for people to read. And you're not, nobody is going to ever be able to destroy God's Word or to destroy the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They just can't do it. It's just, you know, it's not going to happen. And we invite, anybody's invited on this program. If you want to come on here, Benny Hinn, Paula White, Mike Murdoch, whoever, you want to come on here and let's have a discussion, and we'll go head-to-head here, scripture to scripture, you're welcome to come on here. You're all welcome to come on here. Let's talk. Yeah, let's talk, okay? So if you can prove me wrong, then prove me wrong. That's fine. I'm not afraid. So I know what the truth is. And I'm not going to back down from the truth because the truth set me free, and I know it. So I'm hoping the same thing for you, because when I look at people like Mike Murdoch, you know, he looks like an old drunk. He looks like he can't stand himself. If you look at him on television, he's all sloppy. He looks unkempt, like he hasn't had a bath. He looks like he's been on a binge, and even he can't stand himself. So, and then you look at Paula White, all the plastic surgeries, her lip, her mouth is hanging over to one side. Her lip, bottom lip, is so heavy that so full of Botox or whatever, that it won't even stay up hardly. It's hanging over to one side. So many plastic surgeries. Joyce Meyer, how many plastic surgeries are you going to have? You look like a freak already. You know, it doesn't look nice. It doesn't look nice, but there's something going on psychologically that you're so obsessed with your looks. You keep going back for these plastic surgeries. I don't care if somebody has plastic surgery, if it's going to make you look better and feel better. But to keep going back and then you're disfigured. Look at poor Kenny Rogers. He was a handsome man. Now he's got his eyes. His eyes are bugging out from too much plastic surgery. And he's not going to be able to fix it. Some of these people that they were once had nice looks, and then they go, and the plastic surgeon is some kind of a nut, and they come out looking freaky. So you're not happy. If you were happy, you wouldn't have to go trying to seek people's approval all the time by the way you look. What matters is what's in your heart, because God says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." You see these people wind up, many of them, they have to take drugs just so they could sleep at night, because even they can't stand that still small voice telling them to repent and to turn from your wicked ways. I don't understand how Paula White puts her head down on the pillow at night. She puts her head down and she thinks that she's done good for the day when she spends the whole month of January scamming people out of the so-called first fruits offerings that are holy before God, and you better give this first fruits or else God's going to punish you because you didn't put him first. God's first in my life, and I don't have to slap down any money on an altar, especially send you a check because I didn't know you were God. How do you sleep at night? How do you sleep? You probably have to take 20 Xanax and I don't know how many sleeping pills even to go to sleep at night, because even you can't stand yourself unless you're a total reprobate. If you're a total reprobate, then you can stand yourself. Then you don't. You're already, your conscience has already been seared, and there's no hope for you. So, because if it was one of us, and we still had a conscience, we wouldn't be able to sleep at night because we knew we were stealing from people. We were doing wrong. We'd have to go and repent, and we'd have to try to make it right, because that's what repentance, part of repentance is going and trying to make things right. That's what we're supposed to do. But I don't see any repentance coming from these people. No, they're more emboldened than ever in their wickedness. And look at all the blessings God has given me. And Paula White brags about her having a condo at Trump Tower or wherever she has her condo there. Well, how did you get it? I mean, you didn't get that condo honestly by hard work. No, you didn't get it that way. You got it from years of scamming people out of offerings. So what good is it going to do you in the end? Not going to do you any good. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his own soul? It's not worth it. It's not worth it. No, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. No, I'm not dwelling in the tents of wickedness. No, I like my life just fine. I like my life. Thank you, Jesus. And be grateful for your life. Be grateful that you've escaped from the snare of the fowler and the noisome pestilence, that you've been redeemed from the curse. You've been redeemed. Don't let these silly people tell you you have generational curses and you've got curses from your grandma and your grandpa and your great-grandpa. No, you're born again of incorruptible seed. Old things passed away. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. So you don't need to have any generational curses from Aunt Fanny and whoever else they try to tell you that they can relieve you of these things that you have. No, you're a new creation in Christ Jesus, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Oh, hallelujah. So anyway, that's our program for today. And next week, don't forget, we have Brother Wolf Tracker on with Strange Fire. Strange Fire. And then the week after that, our sister Jackie Elnor with, we're going to talk about Sid Roth. Sid, he's got every flaky person on his program. They see angels, they go to heaven, they talk to dead people. The Bible says that we are not to practice necromancy, which is we're not to have communication with the dead. So whenever anyone tells you that they took a trip to heaven and they talked to Peter, they talked to Paul, they talked to all these dead people, no, that didn't happen. No, that didn't happen. No. First of all, God is not going to go against his word. So he's not going to let them talk to dead people and then come back and tell you what the dead people said to them. They're always special. Did you ever notice that people that have, they hear God's voice audibly, and then they take trips to heaven and they take trips to hell, and they want you to look at them like there's something special about them. But no, that's nothing special, because don't even pay attention to that stuff. But anyway, we're going to have Jackie on. We'll be talking about Sid Roth. So And then, let's see, next Sunday. Yeah, next Sunday we have the Super Bowl. So who's going to win the Super Bowl, right? Let's see what happens there. That should be interesting. That should be very interesting. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. Thank you, everybody in the chat room. I'm grateful that you came by. All my listeners, thank you so much for listening all these years. What a blessing. And I hope that these programs will be around for many, many years to come, so that they will be here for the tribulation saints especially. We want to leave something behind when you go. Leave something to help somebody else behind. So all our programs are archived, and we've been on now since 1999, I think. And so every single program that we've done hundreds, are archived, and they're available for anybody to listen to. And then we have our book, Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? And that will be out there, thank God. It's good to leave behind a book because after you're gone, that book stays, and the truth that's in there stays too. So books have always been important throughout the generations. And it's good to leave behind a book. Anyway, thank you very much. Don't forget the most important thing is to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life today. Repent of your sins. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Repent of your sins today and ask Jesus to come into your life. Ask him to help you. He is a help in a time of trouble. Jesus said in the third chapter of John that ye must be born again. First, you're born of your mother, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. The Bible says in the book of Romans that confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. Confess your sins. Believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven. And he sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you. And he's coming again. Hallelujah. He's coming again. Heaven is a real place, and you can make heaven your home. God bless you all today. And don't forget to tune in again.
I'll be in heaven and there'll be no sorrow there.